Welcome to this week's chat with Florian. I'm Johan Joke, Manager of Investor Relations, and I'm here today with Ferry Brose, Florian's Vice President of Research, to discuss gas's role in helping the EU achieve their targets for greenhouse gas reduction. So, what's new on your side?
Hi. Well, what's new on our side is that, as you elaborate in the title, we are going to have a new EU Commission. The new government body of the EU was supposed to be in position on the 1st of November. It has been slightly delayed to the 1st of December, but from the 1st of December, we will have a new EU Commission.
So, what does this mean for energy and energy markets?
Well, it's very interesting because this a new EU Commission will go with what they drafted at least as a title as the European Green Deal. So what this new EU Commission has stated publicly is in 100 first days in office, they will look at what can be done as short, medium and long-term targets to achieve a climate neutral as soon as possible inside the EU. So we will see in the next 100 days what the EU is able to come with.
And what does this specifically mean for natural gas?
Well, it's very interesting. The research, we've looked at the mandate of the new EU commissioner. So we know who she is going to be. She is called Kadri Simson. And in a mandate letter, and I quote, it's written, "Gas will have a role to play in the transition towards a carbon neutral economy, notably through carbon capture and storage." So this is a very good sign for the gas industry. The mandate also mentioned LNG, and so it means that gas is still part of the mix today in Europe and should stay in the energy mix going forward. The other interesting thing that we found out is in a letter, in a written answer to the European Parliament, because you have to go through an audition when you want to be an EU commissioner, she stated something also interesting. The Union is not on track to deliver its 2020 target of improving energy efficiency by 20%. So we are going to have an EU Commission that has been elected with a green agenda and is supposed to come with the European Green Deal. And on the other side, we have a EU Commission that may face some difficulties in reaching the past targets that were set for 2020.
So, are there any other alternative ways that the EU can achieve the targets?
Well, that's the kind of work we've done. If you look at what is the primary energy consumption in the EU versus the GDP, and this is linked to the efficiency, what you find is since the beginning of time, and this can go back to very, very long time, until 2006, energy was an enabler of growth. So you needed more energy if you wanted your GDP to grow. This changed in 2009 because there was a crisis. So if you have a less an economy that is shrinking, you need less energy. That's obvious. But interestingly, between 2006 and 2014, we've seen some growth in terms of economic growth in Europe and some reduction in primary energy consumption. And so, therefore, back in those years, we thought that efficiency was the element that will allow us to consume less energy and so, therefore, to produce less CO2. Unfortunately, since 2014, this has gone up again. And so here you have a discrepancy between the analysts about those 2020 targets. Are we going to be able to achieve those targets if we look only at the trend from 2006 to 2014, or do we take into account the recent trend 2014 to 2018? And this is extremely important because if you look at the then CO2 versus primary energy consumption, you'll find out that it is completely linked, i.e., every time we consume less energy, we produce less CO2, very obvious. And so, therefore, well, if you want to achieve your target, the idea was let's consume less energy and let's achieve our 20 targets. Unfortunately, as the new EU commissioner is alluding, well, if we aren't as efficient as we think we should have been, then we are going to face a position where we are going to be higher in terms of emission in 2020. And this is very important because this is really at the time where this new EU Commission will come. So this means that in 2021, we will have the real data about have we in Europe achieved or not our target for 2020? Your question about a plan B is an interesting one because, well, if you want to continue to increase your energy demand and reduce your CO2 emission, which is exactly where we are, well, the only proven way to do this is to go from coal to gas in a big way. So this coal to gas switching. Why do I say it is proven? Because this has been achieved in the UK. So in the UK, in the last 5 years, we've really moved away from coal fire power plant into gas fire power plant, and we've reduced CO2 emission drastically. So in short, the EU Commission will face a target of 2020. Analysts may not be completely in line is about are we going to achieve them or not, but there is a plan B. The plan B will be to switch off as fast as possible all the coal fire power plants left in Europe and to move this into gas, and then we will achieve our 2020 target. And this is again very important because we are in 2020 going to speak about this European Green Deal. So again, you have to have some coherence between what you wanted to achieve back 10 years ago and what you want your citizen to achieve in the next 10, 20, 30 years.
So from what I'm understanding is that gas can be both the enabler of economic growth in Europe, as well as a means to achieve their short-term carbon reduction targets. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and that's a very good summary. And I would say this is absolutely true in Europe, but this is also true in India or in China, not exactly for the same reason. I mean, in China or in India, gas will allow those two countries to have cleaner air in cities. So yes, in both, all over the world, gas is an enabler of an economic growth and allow some reduction in terms of either CO2 emission in Europe or cleaner air in big cities in Asia.
Of course. And as you know, we're very active in the Indian market here at Tellurian and working to help improve their air quality as well. Thank you for coming to speak with me today. And I'd also like to thank our listeners and remind everyone to follow Tellurian on YouTube and Twitter for company updates. In addition, you can sign up for our daily market commentary on the LNG, oil, and gas markets at www.tellurianinc.com. And we look forward to joining you on our next chat with Tellurian.
Cautionary information about forward-looking statements. This podcast contains forward-looking statements within the means of U.S. federal securities laws. The words anticipate, assume, believe, budget, estimate, expect, forecast, initial, intend, may, plan, potential, project, proposed, should, will, would, and similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements herein relate to, among other things, political and economic developments in the European Union, including as they relate to natural gas markets, prospects for economic growth, and climate change matters. These statements involve a number of known and unknown risks, which may cause actual results to differ materially from expectations expressed or implied in the forward-looking statements. These risks include the matters discussed in Item 1A of Part 1 of the Annual Report on Form 10-K of Tellurian for the fiscal year ended December 31st, 2018, and other Tellurian filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, all of which are incorporated by reference herein. These risks also include the risk of adverse political developments and adverse changes in general economic conditions. The forward-looking statements in this podcast speak as of the date it was posted. Although Tellurian may, from time to time, voluntarily update its prior forward-looking statements, it disclaims any commitment to do so except as required by securities laws.